Hi, this is Bill Arnold. Missed a show or need me talking to help you sleep tonight? I have several solutions to that situation. Here are the podcasts from the show. You are the best for listening and supporting Faith Radio. Warm welcome to the show. Awfully glad to be having this time with you, Bill Arnold. Here in studio, I've got Dr. Marcus Bachman. He'll be joining me in just about a minute. I cannot hardly wait. He's president of Counseling Care. He's been a clinical therapist in the Twin Cities for more than 20 years. And he wants to help people in need in a practical, caring, and sensitive way. So if that sounds like something that you would like to be cared for in a caring, sensitive, and practical way, we are taking your questions. We're going to be talking about life in transition today. How do we handle the new chapters of life? Maybe that's exactly you. Maybe there is, you've lost someone in your life. Maybe you've been relocated. Maybe you've got a new job. Maybe you are just in a place where you don't know what to do next, and you're struggling in your new transition. We're going to talk about that today. And we're going to open up the phone lines. You can call and talk to us live, or you can send us a text. Either way, the number is 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. In 60 seconds, we'll be back with Dr. Bachman.
Hi, Chip Ingram here with Living on the Edge, heard weekday mornings on Faith Radio. We believe that families, churches, and communities can be transformed when Christians really live like Christians. Through the daily Bible teaching on Living on the Edge, we seek to challenge and equip spiritually hungry believers to become wholehearted followers of Christ, and that's why we're so thankful to partner with Faith Radio Network. Each day, programs like Living on the Edge help a growing family of Faith Radio listeners learn and apply God's truth to connect their faith to everyday living. Here's the question. Would you join with Faith Radio in this important mission? Here's how you can get involved. Make a gift today by calling 877-93-FAITH. That's 877-933-2484. Or you can give online at myfaithradio.com. That's myfaithradio.com. Thank you for standing with Living on the Edge and Faith Radio.
I am so glad to have Dr. Marcus Bachman back in the studio. He's president of Counseling Care. And if you have a question, well, we're going to talk about life in transition today. And my first question, Marcus, by the way, welcome.
Thank you. It's always nice to be here with you, Bill.
Thank you. My first question is, are all transitions scary?
No.
Okay.
No.
Let me think of three off the top of my head. Divorce would be scary. A surprise baby could be joyful and a little scary. And retirement could be a little scary if you don't know what you're going to do with yourself.
Yeah, boy, we get right into it. You know, retirement.
And why shouldn't we?
Why shouldn't we? Exactly. And for those of you that are mature Christians or just mature people, you know, retirement should be, you should plan for it. You should at least have saved enough regarding what lifestyle you want to live. You should be in a healthier place because you've exercised. You haven't waited until you're 74 to start exercising. Mm-hmm. You should be eating right, and you should be... You know, if you're married, you should not be without hobbies and interests together as a couple. Those are plans for retirement. And I like the idea of we need to make sure we're retiring to something and not just from something, so that our past is our full life. We have a full life in front of us.
I'm so glad you said that, because I believe that to be true. Sometimes we just need to be reminded.
Yep.
Because we look at the urgency of today and some of the fears that surround just getting through the day, and that can squash some of that bigger picture thinking.
Yeah. And just like the ant, you know, who is a hard worker, we need to, not that it's all about work, but we do need to prepare for a number of different transitions that are going to happen in our life.
Mm-hmm.
College should not be a big surprise. Or for those that decide after high school to go into a vocation of something different than college, that's a preparation. And our parents, we need to be preparing our children to let them really encourage them to know this is your temporary home. You're not coming back after 30 mm-hmm. years old.
Yes. You've noticed we've changed the locks on the doors.
That's a good idea. And moved and not told them where.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Marcus. So let's just say I'm taking a transitions class from you. How many transitions in life may I expect? What should I be ready for? Let's talk about transitions.
Well, there's typically about 10 to 15 transitions in a person's full life.
Okay.
There can be more than that that you can expect. And then there's the unexpected. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, we just don't have power over a death or a significant loss. But you should recognize that we will always, and we should be prepared for the next chapter. Mm-hmm. And I think rather than looking at it from a bleak, a dark, a scary, fearful perspective, how exciting this is. We've got something to look forward to that's going to change us. Because we need to be changed. Mm-hmm. And that's really the gospel message to say, mm-hmm. Lord, what am I holding on to too tightly? What is it that I just am not willing to accept in my life? That transition is important to take an internal look at oneself.
Mm-hmm. Marcus, don't people have a whole bunch of lies that they've lived with? So as you apply those to any transition in life, it makes it daunting?
Once the biggest lie is once you have put yourself in a box, you can't get out of it. Oh. And so you are going to become anxious. You're going to become depressed if you have to get out of that box. And then you start blaming someone for putting you out of the box. Mm. Even again, if you're 32 years old and your mom says, it's time for you to leave home, she's not the problem.
Mm.
But if again, that's ridiculous. But, you know, really, even the idea of losing one's job, as unfair as that is, you know, today thousands of people have lost their job this week. That's not the big shocker. It's a personal shock to us. I'm not trying to minimize being a good counselor. I care. I'm sincere about what pain you're going through. But we also have to realize life isn't fair. And what is it that we can do after this?
Mm-hmm.
Not that you shouldn't go through it too quickly, because that's another problem. If people don't grieve enough, if they don't feel enough about what pain there is in the loss of the transition, the unexpected or unfair transition, then that can be a problem because they zip, 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 and all of a sudden they just collapse emotionally or physically.
Mm-hmm.
And they become very confused spiritually, make poor decisions, and can't even figure out, why did I end up here? Why did I make such poor decisions? Well, I think once we care about something deeply and something happens to us deeply, we need to process it in a way that we work it through.
Mm-hmm.
That's just common sense, isn't it, Bill?
Yeah, it is. And Marcus, I'd love for you to talk about expectations because it seems to me that people will generate their expectations based on what?
Mm.
Based on, because I'd like to? And then all of a sudden when those don't happen the way they would like them to, into the tank they go. And then when a transition in life comes along, they're collapsing.
Boy, expectations can go all over the place.
Okay.
Everything from the cabin that I deserve,
yes,
because my parents had a cabin.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah.
To the fact that my parents never fought.
Mm-hmm.
I still want to tape record that one for life. I've never seen that one. Or to the fact that, you know, they just believe that Christmas has to be celebrated in a certain way traditionally.
Mm-hmm.
Well, wait a minute. Those are all expectations. Once I get married and once I have a new family and once I get into college, not everybody thinks the same way. And I'm into a different situation here. What happens to all my expectations? I need to do some adjusting. It mm-hmm. doesn't mean that my foundations change. It means that my understanding of how to live with someone new, live with a community. And what a great, great experience being in community for people to get to know us and for them to figure out, you know, you got a temper. I heard your last segment.
Oh,
I thought that was really good about anger.
Right. Yeah.
You know, wait a minute. I need to adjust to make sure that my expectations of it has to be this way, otherwise I get angry, there is something wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
So expectations can really trip us up, often do.
Well, I would agree. And I think expectations is something that I've personally struggled with a lot because maybe it was, I think it was C.S. Lewis who was saying, if before you entered a room, you were told it was a honeymoon suite, you know, and you'd walk in, you go, this is kind of a dump. But if walking into the same room, you were told it was a jail, it was a prison cell, you'd go, oh, this is nice.
isn't that true about a movie? You know, if people tell me this is going to be a fantastic
yes.
movie, you will not believe how good it is.
Yes.
You know, I saw Hello, Dolly! Last night at the Orpheum, and someone said, it is the best Hello, Dolly! You
ever.
Won't believe it.
Yeah. And?
Well, it was good.
Yeah. So it's all relative to expectations, right?
It is.
So
it is.
If I'm going to have this job, this spouse, these perfect kids, and let's just keep the list going. And if that doesn't happen, crash.
Well, and if we invest so much of our life into our children, for instance, we live through our life. That's who we become. That's our identity. Yeah, there'll be a crash somewhere along the line. Because if you have more than 0.1 child, you're going to find out. If you have a whole child, I'm just telling you, they're going to disappoint. I had five, so I...
Yes. Five and then 26 adopted? 23 adopted kids,
As I dreamed, I had three more, but yeah, in reality, it was 23.
Okay. Dr. Marcus Bachman is my guest. We're going to take a little break, but we do invite your calls, and they really are calls of any kind. He's a clinical therapist. His degree is in counseling. His PhD is in something like that, too. Just in other words, he's really smart. And he's really sensitive, and he can take your call, and he can answer your questions. And so 877, don't laugh, Marcus. I'm trying to be serious here.
I am too.
877-933-2484. That's a text or a phone call. We'll take either one, 877-933-2484. Be back. We are back with Dr. Marcus Bachman, President of Counseling Care. If you have a question or concern, we're talking about life transitions. What is your transition, and are you struggling with it? Do you need some encouragement? Do you need some counsel? Maybe you are transitioning from student into workplace, or you're transitioning from married to divorce, or from single to married, or from working to retirement. What other options are there? There's some good options out there. We can take any of your concerns, whether it be a phone call or a text, 877-933-2484. We've got a caller on the line already. Susan is calling in. Hello, Susan. You got a question for Dr. Bachman.
Hello. Yes, I do. I am struggle with depression and anxiety. Talk about transitions. My husband passed away 7 years ago, and I have three kids. The oldest is actually graduating this year. And so anyway, that's kind of where I'm at. But my doctor recommended I check into, I think it's called ECP, but basically electric shock therapy, to reset things. And I was just wondering what you know about it and what you could speak to about that.
Well, I'm assuming your daughter is under a doctor's care and also a licensed professional therapist. So,
not my daughter, me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Okay. So under that circumstance, I'm assuming you've talked thoroughly There are some, obviously that's a pretty serious decision, and it is can be a very helpful decision, especially if you've struggled with depression for a long period of time. There are some other methods that people consider before they get to that point, and I'm sure you've had an exhaustive conversation with your doctor and your therapist about that, and that's usually the best route to go rather than me giving some radio advice and getting myself into some trouble here. But you know, you're recognizing with the significant loss 7 years ago with your husband, that takes a significant period of time to go through, and you need to give yourself grace and patience and set goals that are short-term goals and long-term goals. Work with your therapist. Be good to yourself. Understand that God loves you deeply, and He is walking alongside of you. Do not forget that. It's easy to get that confused in the midst of your grief and loss. Read the Psalms. Be good to yourself.
Thank you.
Glad you called in.
Thank you. Marcus, if the depression that she's suffering, and I don't know if this is a fair question to even ask, is a chemical problem that needs a dramatic solution, almost like a person having a diabetic attack. They just need insulin. So would that be proper medication, or is this electroshock therapy maybe a good route to go?
It's always an option. There's also what's developed in the last several years is TMS, which is a magnetic machine that allows current to go through attached. It's like a headphone on your brain, which mm-hmm. sounds very unusual. But you know, the fact that it's FDA approved, the fact that it's insurance reimbursed, insurance doesn't pay unless they have results.
Mm-hmm.
And the success rate on the TMS machine is 50% for people who have had long-term depression. And I always say, consider that also as an option before you go into ECT. ECT can be a it can be an alternative.
Mm-hmm.
But typically before you get to those two, you've used over many years of time medication.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing about medication, it always changes. There's always something new. We have drug representatives that come to our agency on a monthly basis. I only let them in because they give us free lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And no, there's other reasons.
Yeah.
They introduce us to the new drug that's mm-hmm. available
yeah.
because it's a changing evolution with psychopathic drugs.
All right. Let's take a call. Stuart is calling in. Stuart, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for taking my call.
Of course. You have a question for Dr. Bachman.
Yes, I do. This is a first time for me calling, but I'm glad I got on my drive to work and back. I listen to the radio programs both ways. I drive over an hour each way. And my faith is growing, and situation at the moment is my girlfriend and I would like to get married. However, we have an issue with blending our family. I have five sons. She has five children. They're all adults. I'm 56. She's going to be 50. And the dynamics of what's happening in the children's lives, we just really don't see eye to eye. She's a very strong mother. And my question is how to, with my faith growing, she's probably going to move out. We do live together. I know it's wrong, and I'm very convicted. But the issues I'm also having is, how to communicate. She has a gay son that was married, and that's acceptable to her. I can't get past it. And
all right.
Mother choosing family.
Yeah, so, Stuart, this is an interesting concern that you have. And Marcus, I'm going to let you jump in.
Oh, I thought for sure, Bill, you were going to take care of that for me. It's such an easy question.
No, that's more of a Marcus question than a Bill question.
Okay. Well, Stuart, thank you for calling. It is, I don't want to sound whatsoever like a broken record on this one, but this is really helpful for a trained professional counselor who has a backdrop of knowing blended family issues. Because blended family issues does have a world of its own on how the roles work best and coping skills and principal points of how successful blended families can work. So I'm just going to say that at the very front because I think it's a fair thing to say. The other part to it is you've got I'm glad you're slowing it down, rethinking, and considering, let's take a look at this in a way that says, is this the right approach I'm going to take? Should we stay together or shouldn't we? That's a huge decision. And I can only tell you, having 5 kids, having 10 kids at one time is incredibly stressful. It can work. If it's God's will, it can work. So I don't want to discourage you, but I think this is a place for a great counselor to be.
Mm-hmm. And Stuart, thank you for trusting us with your story.
Yes, and I will pursue more. And what I've learned from the program just recently is that there was basically 3 choices, but something had to be made.
Mm-hmm.
So we get married, we separate, or we split up. Because living together is, we got to clean up that before we could ever approach anything with kids. We got to live the example. So it's, that is my beginning of this. But I definitely will pursue more.
Yeah.
More advice. And
keep praying too, Stuart. Thank you so much for calling.
Yes, thank you.
All right. Nicely handled, Marcus. We have to take a break here in about a minute. I've got a bunch of questions coming in, so I'm looking forward to rejoining the discussion with Marcus Bachman after the break. If you have a question, we're talking about life transitions, but Marcus said we'll go anywhere you like. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. That's a text or a call. You can call us and come right on the show if you like. We're going to take a little break. Dr. Marcus Bachman is in studio. We will be back in a couple minutes. Good afternoon. I hope you're having a good day. I have Dr. Marcus Bachman in studio. He's president of Counseling Care. He's been a clinical therapist in the Twin Cities for more than 20 years. We're chatting about life transitions today, but we're opening up the phone and the text lines to really anything. And I've got a question here that came in from a listener, Marcus. It said, my therapist recently used the term anxious attachment style. Can you explain that a bit more?
Well, typically that means that whatever life throws to you, you're anxious, and the attachment is usually you get anxious about losing someone significant to you, overly anxious,
mm-hmm.
a parent, a spouse, and it has also then to do with the dependency overly dependent on that person. So it's often associated with a person feeling very insecure, not having a strong self, and it has concerns about just being often on an emotional edge to their life. I should say something positive about that.
No, that's
but
okay.
It is what it is.
When did anxious attachment, what is the origin of that? When does that start? Does it start as a child or?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
So if you have a mother who is going to rescue their 1-2-year-old and make sure that the baby doesn't cry, and every need of that little child is taken care of without having them fall, without having them have, I realize I'm a tough parent here talking about a 2-year-old, but the idea that it's a rescuing parent and that goes on through, can go on through their entire life, you will definitely develop an anxious attachment issued person. I didn't diagnose that text that just came in. I'm just telling you.
Right.
That's again, pretty common sense. And you know, the parent who does that, they often feel like they're doing it for the sake of what's loving, what's the most caring. If you dig around a little bit, you find out that that person often has some of their own unmet needs and will live through that child.
Mm-hmm.
How unfair.
Yeah. I looked up Dr. Google here on anxious attachment, and it says things like, I want to get close to you, but I'm not sure you want to be emotionally close to me.
Mm-hmm.
I worry you'll leave. I feel anxious about whether our relationship will last. I question whether you love me as much as I love you. These are all qualities of someone who might have an anxious attachment.
I'm surprised they didn't use the word codependent, because that describes codependency pretty clear.
I want you to reassure me of your love.
Ooh, ooh. And the other person often feels they have some power there. They know that the other person is dependent on them. It feels good. It's a very unhealthy relationship, especially when it's back and forth like that, and it's very troubling. It has a degree of drama to it almost on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm. All right, we've got a caller on the line. Mary's calling in from Shoreview. Mary, I'm so glad you're joining the show today. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. Say, I have been unemployed for a couple of years due to a lot of illness, basically.
So
and now I'm just, I'm physically better. So anyways, the last probably 8 months, I've been out looking for a job again, and I'm an LPN. I'm not an RN. Came very close to that and wasn't able to get it. So the positions are limited, but the thing that I found, doctor, is that the idea of even looking for a job now, it's gotten so complicated and so frustrating, really, online. And even just to get a phone interview, you have to take a bunch of tests. And I have had 4 jobs now that I started. This sounds terrible, but one was with the county, 2 home care jobs, a nursing home. And when I walked into the jobs, I was lied to so badly, and just the moral and ethical standards and the being short-staffed and the stress, and I couldn't do it. I mean, I guess I'd been spoiled in the jobs that I had been in prior. So I wondered if you had any suggestions for either God doesn't want me to be a nurse anymore, I don't know, or regarding networking or a way of doing this that's not so painful.
I understand that's a tough transition, Mary. So, Marcus, well, what do you think?
Mary, thank you for calling. I appreciate your vulnerability and sharing some of who you are there. I believe that when you're interviewing, Mary, remember, they're interviewing you, of course, but you're interviewing them. You want to make sure. It makes a world of difference, the setting that you're in. You want to make sure that it's a healthy setting. You want to make sure that there is integrity, a sense of, you know, environment that you feel safe and you feel like not only are you giving, but you're going to be appreciated, and it's going to be a place that you know you're comfortable enough to work in. So you're going to interview them. Part of that is asking people that you know, where are those kind of places. You may just go in for an informational interview, which is very non-threatening in the sense of there's no pressure for them to hire, and there's no pressure for you to be hired. It's just simply I'm wanting to know a little bit more about, you know, your nursing home or hospital or whatever the setting is. So I think there's a lot to be said about a positive attitude as you walk into the interview, knowing you don't have to have this job. If you do well in the interview process, they like you, it will all be meant to be. And if not, you can always ask, what was it that, you know, they made the decision not to hire you? That can be revealing. Maybe they'll share some things with you that could be very helpful for you in the next interview. Don't expect the next interview, the third interview, to be the trick. You need to continue to do this for several more months and then make a decision.
Well, I'm single. So my income, my savings is really, I'm getting desperate, I guess, and that doesn't help either.
Yeah. Okay. So if you're feeling desperate, that may come across in the interview. That's where you need to find some, if you've got some friends that would steer you in a direction that might give you some ideas of where some good places are to work. And you may just, you know, this is a full-time job. Finding a job is a full-time job. There's a lot to be said. There are also some great support groups out there that can encourage, coach, help you in the interviewing, in the job pursuit process. There's some great Christian support groups out there for you.
So stay positive, Mary. Oh, you're doing great.
I'm trying. Thank you.
Okay.
Yep.
God bless you. Marcus, what about in transitions when we feel like this transition is going to be leaving me behind? And maybe I don't have I'm facing fears to move forward, and I don't like being left behind. And this is what this transition feels like it's doing to me.
Well, leaving me behind is a matter of really an attitude, a framework. I think that we have to have the understanding that, of course, we're going to lose something in a transition. It's never going to be the same. We're going to look at life from the perspective that I had to give up something, or I had to change, or I'm losing something. That has to be understood. I think there is something to be spoken about, that understanding. But the next step is, what am I gaining? What am I receiving? What opportunities? What is God teaching me through this? And if we see it as a positive challenge rather than being deflated or I'm lost here, I'm losing, it's a world of difference.
Maybe it's something we just don't want to see happen. You know, we don't want a spouse to leave, or we don't want to get fired, and we fear losing a loved one.
That's okay, isn't it? It has to be.
It has to be, but it's not comfortable.
No, it's not. And that's where expressing one's feelings, being able to express that to someone who you're safe with, who will listen and take the sincere time to listen and not always give you quick advice. I think there's a lot to be said about your story needs to be heard. Your story needs to be told, and it has value.
Mm-hmm.
There is healing in the ability to share your story. Mm-hmm. Many people, especially men, hold their story in.
Yeah. Marcus, is it typical that if you're in a transition that you could very likely also be spiritually dry? You feel a little desperate and like, ooh, I don't even know if I have the energy to pray right now.
Yeah. And I think, you know, God knows our every thought, and God knows even when we're in this dry spell, that can be our strongest growth time. It doesn't feel like it, and it may seem like it's for a very long period of time. but always when we look back at those dry times, because we do move out of those dry times, we will recognize so often, not that we get the whole picture, because I don't think we understand it all while we live on this earth.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that we can look back at those really hard times and say, that was incredibly hard, but I got through it. I learned some things, and some of my life experience from it is much better.
Mm-hmm.
What about if you're transitioning from the loss of maybe an activity, maybe you blew your knee out and the doctor said you will never ski again, and yeah, maybe you're, you know, not super young, and the thought of not skiing again is just, oh, now it's begun. Here it is. What's next? And you start to deal with some of these feelings of loss. And how do you stay positive about stuff like that when really it's kind of hard?
I think, honestly, for a while you may not stay positive.
Okay.
I mean, for a while you're going to really be angry, or you're going to be really frustrated, or you're going to really feel in a dark place. And I don't think just because the morning comes, I'm going to be Mr. Happy about, mm-hmm, I can't ski anymore. Mm-hmm. Those things that are important to us take time. And yes, eventually we have to be wise enough, mature enough, and involved in community enough to share our sadness, our sorrow, our anger, and have a good friend walk alongside of us.
Mm-hmm.
And we move to swimming.
Yeah.
Instead of skiing.
Yeah. Marcus,
or whatever.
You seem like a very content person to me. I mean, you've got a lot of joy. It just kind of effervesces out of you. And there's always that, sometimes the people that are victims of their own industry, it's like the cleaning lady with a dirty house, you know, or a dentist that has got kids with cavities, you know.
Or a counselor that has a really dysfunctional home.
Go ahead. I was getting to that. Why did you always have to beat me to the punch?
I'm sorry.
So how do you find yourself processing through stuff when you've got personal issues?
You know, as a counselor, I don't focus on myself and what I'm going through.
Okay.
I think that's honestly immature, and I see a lot of people in my field that are trying to figure themselves out,
mm-hmm,
and they think psychology counseling is a great way to figure themselves,
yeah,
out.
Did they get into it maybe for that reason?
Oh.
I'll go figure myself out.
I just I just want to split my head open on that one. But
yeah.
I think part of that can happen because we always learn from each other, and we learn from the field, and hopefully we'd apply it to ourselves. But we never should be in the field because of us. From my perspective, it's calling, and quality, mature Christian counselors recognize that we have an almighty counselor. We love that almighty counselor, and we want the principles of God's word to be given to, mm-hmm, people, to give them hope. And it isn't. It's the Christian life. We've died to ourselves. We are here for purpose, and we're here for a short time. So we better, not that it's about rules and regulations and duties, but it's about the fact that resurrection it happened, and we've got a lot we have to offer, and it's not about us.
All right, I have Dr. Marcus Bachman in studio, so we've got one more segment with him. If you have a question about maybe a marriage or family matter, or you are dealing with a little depression, anxiety, you need a word of advice from our expert, please give us a call. 877-933-2484. That's a phone call or a text. Of course, you can be anonymous. Be back in a minute. Welcome back to the show. Dr. Marcus Bachman is in studio and got a couple of calls and text messages coming in. What, Marcus, is your take on I don't even know what this word is, so I should have read it in advance. I don't know.
Thanks for preparing me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Nuthetic. Do you know what that word is?
Oh, nouthetic counseling.
Nouthetic counseling.
Yeah.
I was thinking maybe it's a typo and it's non-ethic counseling. I ain't real bright, just so you know.
No, that's all right. Yeah. Nouthetic is a biblical approach toward that life's issues have an answer through God's word. And they apply scripture and probably we would say less psychological approach and much more of a clear biblical approach.
Okay.
Which is a beautiful, beautiful approach, understanding God's word is true. I happen to think that there is a great blend of listening to people's stories and understanding how they got to the place they are today, and flipping over some of the pages in their life is really helpful to help them understand. Understanding is truth,
mm-hmm.
and God's word is true. And blend those together, and we can rock this boat in a wonderful way.
Yeah, and I learned a new word today, so that's exciting for me. Nouthetic. I love it. All right, I've got a caller on the line. Carrie is calling from Howard Lake. Hi, Carrie. How are you?
Hi. Well, I'm calling in. I'm not doing so great.
Okay. Well, we're here to hold your hand.
Thank you. Well, the thing is, I'm 69. I lost my husband 3 years ago. He just died abruptly right in front of me. And, you know, I've just been struggling. I've gone to grief groups. And, you know, but what I'm wondering is, I have ups and downs. Sometimes I feel very in control and that I'm moving on and doing a great job. And then one day it'll come on and I'll just feel such depths of loneliness for him. And it's not only that, I feel incomprehensibly terrified sometimes. Like, just because my husband handled everything for me. And so it's a new task, like buying a microwave oven or something like that. It's a new task. It's something I have to deal with, but it's hard. And so that's hard, too. My kids, you know, they're going up. They're older women, and they're going up and down with everything, and they don't want to talk about it, period. So anyway, I want to say some positive things, though my church has been great. I'm at a great church, and they've been. But anyway, I'm just trying to say that sometimes I'm getting the message that I'm supposed to be moving on, and I just wondered if he had some words for me.
Carrie, that is precious. I and Bill and I are just so sorry to hear your story of significant loss. I just think it's what you're going through seems very normal. I think your reactions seem very understandable, that you will have ups and downs, and you had a good marriage, it sounds like, and so therefore you love deeply, and so, you know, you're not just going to have a good hard cry for a week or two. You're going to have hard cries because of what the relationship meant to you. I know God understands that and is present with you. So hold tight to this church group. Invest with them and let them know. Thank you for your patience with me as you're going through that, mm-hmm. and they will love you back as they are. So you know there are people go through not just one support group for grief share, grief loss. They go through it a couple times. They read books. They go to a beautiful group in the Twin Cities that has a widow care. And so there's a lot of just do a little research. Find out what's in your area there in Howard Lake, which I should know where Howard Lake is. But
you should.
Yeah.
Oh, it's
yeah.
West.
I'm very disappointed in you, Marcus.
I know. So bless you, Carrie. Thank you for sharing. And remember the truth that you... You're going to develop new skills here in the process of how to buy the right microwave, and it doesn't have to be perfect.
It doesn't have to be 100% right on. Give yourself grace.
Yeah,
be kind to yourself.
God.
All right. God bless you.
God bless you, Carrie. Thank you so much. Thank you. All right. So there's, from the callers and the people who have texted in, there's a fair amount of anxiety and depression that exists as they go through transitions. And Carrie's pain was very real, and as was everyone else's. And my heart just breaks, and I just pray that God meets them in their time of need and comforts them. This anxiety thing, Marcus, it's a big deal, isn't it?
Well, it's absolutely freezes a person and causes them to question themselves and question their surroundings and question their loved ones and life itself. And even anxiety can grip the elderly. As they question, where am I going? You know, we think automatically because we're believers that we know where we're going. That should never, ever be a question. Well, anxiety can grip people in a way that causes them to really rethink some of that. And I think rather than judging too quickly, I think we need to have a real sense of grace and love in our response to people who anxiety and depression are a real thing.
Because mm-hmm. Carrie obviously loved well, so she's mourning well, and she's not over at all the pain of losing her beloved. And is there a point where that kind of advice to move on is just kind of not good advice? I mean,
yeah, I think I don't know who would have a right to say.
Move on. Yeah.
You know, if it's been 25 years. And we can't pick out a microwave, and we're still doing the cooktop stove thing. You know, maybe then we can start talking about it differently. But I would pepper this one with a lot more grace than say move on. I know I say that because Bill, part of that is I am a merciful person, and a person who is more of a teacher business person may say move on. So. Pick your friends, and I think there is healing in the process, and it takes time, often for a great love like that to be healed.
Well, and is it safe to say we're often uncomfortable with other people's discomfort? So
absolutely,
we might want to be a fixer and go, you need to move on.
That's right.
Because the truth is, maybe I'm not comfortable with your discomfort.
That's right. I know this isn't the right place to say it on radio, but I think silence can be a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Maybe just...
not having to have an answer.
Suit up and show up and shut up, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Just be present.
That's right.
Yeah.
Huge in being able to give to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's who Christ is to us.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Marcus, thank you so much. Beautiful spring day. What are your plans after work or after the show?
I'm not going to see Hello Dolly again.
I wouldn't think so. I would.
Yeah. I'm outside.
Yeah.
I'm going outside.
Okay, good.
No, it was pretty good. It was pretty good.
All right. Okay. Yeah, yeah. So counselingcare.us is Marcus's website, counselingcare.us. And really want to say thanks to all the people that called or texted today, and they showed up with and they trusted us with their issues and concerns, and they were challenging and difficult. And I just pray God's protection on your hearts and minds tonight as you go about your evening. I just pray the Holy Spirit just shows up and gives you that peace or that little extra bit of comfort and feeling that you are completely loved and God adores you and He's got you in the safety of His grip. As you lay your head on the pillow tonight, just know that God's working out His great plan in your life, whatever age or stage or transition that you're in. So that wraps up the show. Thanks again to all my great guests. Have a great night, everyone. I'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.